Woman Sarah Sanders lied. They said the White House revoked Acosta's press pass in retaliation for his challenging questions during the conference.
President Trump's proposed to the VP, Mike Pence.
Mike, will you be my running mate? Stand up, Mike, please. Raise your right hand. Will you? Thank you. Okay, good. The answer is yes. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
That happened during President Trump's post-election day news conference yesterday. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Canada is apologizing to Jewish refugees who were rejected entry during the 1930s. In the House of Commons, the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, gave a speech yesterday asking for forgiveness for his nation's refusal to grant asylum to fleeing Jewish refugees. He characterized the act as callous, and he says they contributed to sealing the cruel fates of far too many of those who were harmed in the Holocaust. In 1939, Canada did turn away the MS St. Louis, which was carrying over 900 Jewish people. For the first time in over a decade, less than a majority of Americans say crime is a very or extremely serious problem in America. A Gallup poll released yesterday said 49% believe it was a very or extremely serious problem, but that number is down 10% from where it was just a year ago. Half of the Americans surveyed say crime is a moderate or not at all a serious problem. It's the first time the top number dropped below 50% since 2004. And a Texas judge is letting his juvenile defendants go free after losing his re-election bid. Harris County Juvenile Court Judge Glenn Devlin releasing at least seven young people who appeared before him yesterday before letting them go, asking them if they planned on killing anybody. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400, and where they share with you the personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Well, folks, today's guest
is here to not only share a great success story with you, but also the story of a true American legend. Leon Gorman is the former chairman of L.L. Bean and the grandson of L.L. Bean's founder, Leon L. Bean. And Leon L. Bean is such an American icon. He was named by the Wall Street Journal as one of the top 10 entrepreneurs of the 20th century. And as we visit with Leon Gorman, you're going to find out exactly how he earned that distinction of honor. Leon, welcome to Legends of Success.
Well, glad to be here, John.
We're so proud to have you here. You know, a good friend of mine, Bill Sauer, who is a professor at Susquehanna University, and he always would tell me about taking the trek up to L.L. Bean, and he takes students to learn from your fascinating operations up there. So we're so happy you're with us, Leon.
Yeah, well, thanks, John.
My pleasure. Leon, I'm sure most people have heard a lot about L.L. Bean. They've shopped from it. You've got millions and millions of customers. But just to crystallize a thought, can you give me an overview capsule of L.L. Bean today, the size, number of catalogs, customers, and we'll just try to paint an overview. How's that?
Okay, fine, John. I'll give you some background detail here. Last year, the company's revenues were about $1.5 billion. The company sells through three channels, primarily catalog and e-commerce, but also an increasing number of retail stores. We employ about 4,000 people on a year-round basis. At peak, we have over 11,000 people working for Bean during a peak season.
That's pretty serious, Leon.
Yeah, that's a fair amount of good Maine people and out-of-state people working for the company.
Yeah, I read, Leon, where in 2005, L.L. Bean produced 61 different catalogs. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. I think in total we mailed about 250 million pieces last year.
250 million pieces. That's pretty serious. I'm glad I'm not your postman. So, of all the hits that you get on the Internet or even your shoppers, it's in 2005, Leon, 14.5 million customer contacts were received. And on your busiest day, I was told you had about 180,000 contacts in one single day. Is that correct, or is that?
Yeah, no, that's correct, John. I think on our peak day, in 1 hour, we do more business than we did the entire year that I first joined the company.
Isn't that amazing? Well, we're so proud to have you, and also want to mention, folks. And I've got to let you know, Leon, I tried several years ago to try to set up an interview with you. At the time, it wasn't right. I think they knew this book was coming. So I want to give your book a plug. It's called L.L. Bean, The Making of an American Icon. And that book was written by our guest today, Leon Gorman, the chairman, former president, and the grandson of L.L. Bean. And at the insistence and the encouragement of Harvard Business School, I guess they were after you for a while, weren't they, Leon, to do this book?
Well, they first approached me back in 1998, and that's actually when I signed the contract. It's something I think I'd always had in the back of my mind I'd like to do, is to write my recollections of my 40 years here at Bean, and their interest in the subject was enough to get me going.
That's tremendous. And Leon, when we look at L.L. Bean, as Jack Welch uses the word differentiate, what would you say? There's other types of competitors of yours out there, but I found a couple things. I'd like to hear you share with me, if you would, please. What are the one or two things that totally differentiates L.L. Bean from all other competitors?
Well, I think our uniqueness goes back to our founding story, and that's when L.L. First started the company. He'd grown up. He was orphaned at the age of 11, and grew up with various family friends and relatives up in the hills of Western Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved the outdoors, and he loved hunting and fishing. But beyond that, he'd never done much of significance until after the turn of the century, and his feet kept getting tired, wet with the footwear of the day. So he came up with his leather top, rubber bottom, Maine hunting shoe, and he had a few pairs made up for he and his friends, and it solved his problems in the field, and he decided every other hunter should have a pair. So in 1912, he put together this small brochure and mailed it out to a list of out-of-state Maine hunting and fishing license holders, and he was in business. But unfortunately, of the first 100 pair of boots he sold, 90 were returned as defective. He borrowed some more money, refunded all his customers their money, perfected the boot design, started all over again, and that time he was very successful. So our founding roots go back to the values that LL learned from that first experience, the importance of fully tested, top-quality products, the importance of personal service, the importance of the respect for people, for trusting his customers, and finally, the outdoors values that we believe in so much, the spiritual and physical values of the outdoor life.
And I guess, not to interrupt you, but his whole life when you're a kid and he grew up in Greenwood, Maine, correct?
Greenwood Plantation, John.
Oh, Greenwood Plantation in the state of Maine.
That's correct.
I got you. And back then, the one thing you did mention, if you don't mind me going back for a second, you said something that was kind of key in his growing up. He had a tragedy. You said he was orphaned at age 11 or 12. My notes told me that both of his parents died within 4 days of each other. What happened there, Leon?
I honestly don't know what caused their deaths, but it did happen that way. Within just a few days, they both passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And LL and his brothers and one sister were, sent off to live with various friends and family.
Well, it's interesting is that, to have a tragedy like that at a young age, he didn't let it pull him down too much, did he?
No, and it kind of adds an Horatio Alger element to the whole LL Bean story as well.
Boy, doesn't it ever. It really does. And I know in your book, The Making of an American Icon, LL Bean, you had mentioned somewhere in there I read, Leon, that pretty much the first 40 years of his life were pretty much uneventful. Is that correct?
Those are the words that he used, other than his trips in the field, hunting and fishing in the state of Maine.
Yeah.
And it's all part of the mystique and the persona that LL tended to exude throughout his life. And you were asking what, the key differentiator was for LL Bean. And I think it's LL's own personal attitude towards life and his value system that he lived and exemplified over the years. And there's nobody that can, duplicate that kind of charisma and mystique that the LL Bean Company has.
No, you've got such an icon. It's a pretty tremendous shoes to fill. We're going to get into your story about how the transition went over. But I found this excerpt in my research, Leon. I find really interesting that when those first pair of boots came out, his first ad copy, I have this quote where he said in his catalog, his three-page catalog, "You cannot expect success hunting deer or moose if your feet are not properly dressed. The Maine hunting shoe is designed by a hunter who has tramped the Maine woods for the last 18 years. We guarantee them to give perfect satisfaction in every way." LL Bean, your grandfather, Leon, was, I looked at him, his ad copies as one part Will Rogers, one part Mark Twain. A very unique, and I think that was a very strong differentiating factor as well. Am I correct?
Well, I think, yes, that's very true, John. A big part of his genius was being able to project his personality through the written word. I mean, he just attracted a fanatic following of customers, and people trusted him and believed him just thought the retail store was Mecca and the catalog was the Bible and all the rest of it.
I love it. And, folks, if you're just tuning in, Leon Gorman is our guest today on Legends of Success. Leon is the former chairman, former president, and grandson of L.L. Bean. And also, we have to put on this list of merits here, Leon, that you're also an author of the book L.L. Bean, The Making of an American Icon. And we get back, folks, we'll find out how the rubber met the road with L.L. Bean and with our guest, Leon Gorman. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Leon Gorman, the former president and grandson of L.L. Bean, is our guest today on Legends of Success. He's got a book out entitled L.L. Bean, The Making of an American Icon. And I got to tell you, folks, there are a lot of successful businesses in American, the history of America, but very few can be called American icons. We've had Estee Lauder, for example. We have Forbes, of course. Malcolm was a real character, and Steve is a good friend of ours in the shows, but you know, there's Mary Kay Ash was another icon. When you refer to the word icon, that takes a lot of responsibility. And this man, L.L. Bean, has pulled it off. And we're thankful to have Leon Gorman, his grandson, with us to help keep the legend of the lore going. Leon, let's talk about a few products that are in these catalogs, just in case there's somebody out in the hinterlands that never heard of L.L. Bean. What are your most popular types of items that you can purchase?
Well, our core items would include, of course, the main hunting shoe, which is still to this day our single most popular and important product, and we continue to make those here in Brunswick, Maine. Along with that would be the chamois cloth shirt as a traditional core item, our tote bags, our hand-sewn camp moccasins. There's a variety of outerwear items, our warm-up jacket, for instance, but basically, it's outdoors-related products where for people that have an outdoors lifestyle and they're either actively engaged in being sports like fly fishing or hiking or cross-country skiing and cycling or hunting and so on. And then we also cater to their more relaxed weekend spare time activities as well. So we're what we call a lifestyle merchant, and that's why I always described LL as the original lifestyle merchant. He sold what he liked, and he liked what he sold, and he thought everybody else in the world should be able to share in the same pleasures in life that he did, and that's kind of the attitude we continue to have these days.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and when you look at all the legends of success we've interviewed, and we've had some pretty amazing people, I might say that every one of them, Leon, said that, you know, they didn't go in business just for the money or because of money. They went into a business that they loved, that they had a passion for, or a product
that was needed to be invented. And that's exactly what your grandfather, L.L. Bean, why he went into business, exactly what he did, didn't he?
That's exactly right. That was his vision and his concept, and he wanted people to be able to share in the pleasure and joy and recreation that he found in the outdoors. And that, again, continues to be our guiding philosophy here. It's more than just shipping out products and putting names on a mailing list. It's adding value to people's lives and having them gain more pleasure in the outdoors from having, you know, a proper warm sleeping bag or good-fitting boots or whatever the piece of gear is that facilitates their practice of their sport.
Leon, to make sure that your products hold up and test well and you could obviously be proud to stand behind the guarantees that you market and live up to, I look back in the beginning of the history with L.L. Bean, and your grandfather actually test-marketed every product, and then I found out that you folks still to this day encourage the employees and the executives of L.L. Bean to take these products, get out in the woods, hike, fish, camp, hunt, do all the things you have to, and that's how you really test your products.
Yeah, we have a very elaborate testing program these days, John. It's not only being tested and all the products being tested in the field, but we have our own laboratory here in Freeport to apply a variety of strength tests and waterproof tests and things like that on all of our products.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing. You continue with some of those values of LL. So we go back to the beginning again, 1911, about LL's about 40 years old. He comes back from a hunting trip. He's got cold, damp feet, and all of a sudden the light goes on, and he hired a cobbler to stitch leather uppers to a pair of workman's boot, which were the bottoms, and now he had functional boots. As you mentioned before, he made 100 pairs. He borrowed, I think, $400, made 100 pairs. 90 of them came back defective, and that is where he started the integrity of saying, I'm going to live up to everyone that spent money and refund them, and that started the integrity of L.L. Bean, and he went back, borrowed another $400, and he was off and running a business. Is that pretty much how it started?
Yeah, that's very much how it started, John. That's what we do call the L.L. story, and it was from that experience that he developed the fundamental values that this company is based on.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that he said, I have a quote, he said, and folks, if you're in business or, well, you know, any type of service, retail, wholesale, doesn't matter. One of LL's quotes, which is so important, is says, a customer is not someone to match wits with. Nobody ever want an argument with a customer. That's real simple. You serve the customer. The customer doesn't serve you. Am I right, Leon?
No, that's absolutely correct. And as part of serving the customer, you've got to trust the customer to know when the product has been satisfactory or when it's not. And that's because they trust us to deliver a quality product. So it's kind of a mutual relationship as well of respect for each other.
Leon, going back, I read where L.L. Bean used virtually all the company profits from those catalog sales and dumped them right back into advertising again.
Yeah, that's the way the story went. That was before my time, of course, but mm-hmm. That's my understanding, John.
And 1934, L.L. Bean was like 70% the volume of the Freeport Post Office. By 1937, you guys hit $1 million in business. And what were the next pivotal events that really built this business that our listeners and young entrepreneurs can learn from?
Well, I think that first million that was achieved in the mid-30s was, you know, also in the middle of the Great Depression, and I think that makes the feat even more remarkable that the LL was able to do that. Subsequent to that, of course, World War II came upon us, and all of, you know, LL's customers went to fight the war, and Bean actually converted more to a manufacturer of bags and footwear for the military. And then after World War II, when the civilian business started picking up again, LL got this wonderful article, and this was 1946 or 7, I believe, in the Saturday Evening Post, which was one of the most widely read publications of the day. Mm-hmm. And it was two full pages of full-color photos of LL and his factory and so forth. And the title of the story was The Discovery of LL Bean. And it was kind of the definitive story of LL and what he'd accomplished and what he was all about. And that had the effect of, I think it increased the business by 50%.
Really?
It was remarkable, yeah, and it was a wonderful definitive story on LL, and I think the proudest moment in his life when he saw that Sad Evening Post article come out.
You know, the Saturday Evening Post was the equivalent of today's getting on Oprah show, am I right?
Well, you could put it that way, John, yeah.
Absolutely. So that really really built the business. He was also, you know, talking about characteristics of an American icon, American legend as L.L. Bean. I read a quote where a writer in Maine said, if you stopped in to meet L.L. Bean and shake his hand, by the time you got home, there's a catalog in the mailbox.
Yeah, John Gould wrote that. He was a great Maine writer.
And so the man, if we summed up his characteristics in starting the business, he had a lot of guts, had a lot of integrity. How else would you describe L.L. Bean, Leon?
Well, a lot of Yankee ingenuity and a lot of country boy confidence. That's the way I always saw him. He was just a very gregarious, outgoing, enthusiastic, charismatic guy. He was just very unusual, had a really distinct presence. When he was ever in a room, you knew L.L. was there, spoke in a big, loud, booming voice. And, you know, he was just the kind of person you could totally trust had a high regard for.
He was a mentor of yours?
Well, sort of. We didn't really. When I came to work at Bean in 1960, L.L. was in his late 80s, and mm-hmm. and then, of course, he died. He was 94 when he died, so I was. He was not anywhere near his prime at that point. So
sure.
I just had a few glimpses as a child, I guess, of L.L. at his best, but there were still some flashes of his genius in those last few years of his life as well.
When you're a little kid and you grow up with, I asked William Lauder, who is a friend of ours, and his grandmother was Estee Lauder, who we lost. I said to William, I said, you know, what's it like growing up knowing that your grandmother is Estee Lauder? Isn't that a bit intimidating because he's president of Estee Lauder today? He said, at the end of the day, she's my grandmother. Everybody else saw her as that, but she was my grandmother. But it was still a formidable icon for him to deal with.
Well, I think in our case, L.L. was, when we were kids, he was more the ideal grandfather than any kind of a big business person. That was secondary to our relationship.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting, you're listening to Legends of Success, and we're visiting with Leon Gorman. He's got a book out, L.L. Bean, The Making of an American Icon. Leon Gorman is the former chairman, former president, and grandson of L.L. Bean. The whole story and history is in this. If you didn't even like business, this is one great story. Lots of lessons to learn. I highly recommend it, put out by Harvard Business School. We get back, we're going to find out, how did Leon Gorman start with his first job at L.L. Bean, and what did he do to make changes, and how did it take off from that point? You're listening to Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as a Supreme Court justice is hospitalized this morning. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg fell in her office last night and is currently at a hospital in Washington, D.C., where she's being treated for 3 broken ribs. A spokeswoman says she's expected to be okay. 12 people dead, including a deputy, and the gunman makes 13 after a mass shooting at a bar outside Los Angeles late last night.
He had 2 rounds that I know with him. He changed them within about 6 seconds, which was really fast. So he knew what he was doing.
That's a witness to the shootings at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California last night, which NBC News is now reporting was carried out by a 29-year-old man named Ian Long, although law enforcement has not yet released the identity of the gunman. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea, timeshare contract guaranteed, or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare Timeshare Exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. That's 800-586-7112.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, having a fascinating visit with Leon Gorman, the former chairman, former president, and grandson of L.L. Bean, the legend himself. And he has a book out, L.L. Bean, The Making of American Icon, that was encouraged by the Harvard Business School for him to put this book out. You know, Leon, we all have mentors in life. One of my mentors is actually a professor from Harvard Business School. His name is John Davis. And John Davis is the faculty chair of Families and Business Program at the Harvard Business School. Tremendous and brilliant man. He had this quote to say about you and L.L. Bean. He said, L.L. Bean is an excellent example of a family business that continues to reinvent itself and stay current. They demonstrate leadership skills that other family-owned businesses in America can learn from. He is highly fascinating with a story, as a lot of people at Harvard are. How does it feel sometimes? Is it a tremendous amount of accountability and responsibility leading a company of this size and knowing that your name, your family name, is on that label?
I think there is, John. I never really felt it that way. I just have always enjoyed this company and I believe in the legacy and the heritage of LL. And I think that's been the motivation. Plus, we really have a phenomenal bunch of people, working for the company, and they're all believers in the value system and the outdoors life as well. So there's a really synergistic dynamic going on here, I think, that moves the company along and motivates us to do better.
You know, and that's a real key point. We had our friend Oz Nelson, who was longtime chairman and CEO of UPS, and I asked him, Oz, how do you build such a culture in that business? Because all the UPS delivery people, you notice they're all positive, they're in a good mood, they're loyal to the business, to the UPS. And you folks have built a same type of culture. What's the secret in that, Leon?
I can't really claim to know the secret. I know that we have it here, that we have, the people want to do a good job for the customers just as much as you or I do as well. And they're committed to the values and the culture and making a better outdoors experience for everybody. And so they're a part of the culture just as much as I am or any of the family members are. And there's that momentum that just sort of keeps it going. And it's important to keep it going, I think, because if you lose it, it's extremely difficult to turn a cultural movement around.
Boy, that must be the truth. There's no question. But obviously you do something right to inspire the troops and the coworkers.
Well, I think really to do that, the leadership lesson is you have to lead by example. You have to have this vision and a passion in what you're doing. And that you've got to be competent and you've got to be trustworthy. And that's it.
And live by your word, which you've always done here, obviously. May 30th, 1960, Leon, you get an honorable discharge from the Navy. And you get your first job at L.L. Bean for $80 a week. What did you do, and what was it like coming up to work for your grandfather?
Well, it was good. He gave me a job, but neither he nor his son Carl told me what to do. So I was sort of wandering around, and my father had worked for Bean up until 6 months prior to my coming here, and he died of leukemia that winter. Mm. And so he had not been replaced, and his desk was still empty. So I sat down at his desk and started trying to figure out what to do from there.
And you didn't have a lot of guidance at first. As a matter of fact, I think you said in your book that
you didn't really see this as a career opportunity. It was just a job at that time. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I couldn't go without a paycheck very long in those days. So I needed the job, but I wasn't sure, you know, where I'd wind up over time.
So you, in the background, I know you'd worked there a couple summers in high school, but how did you start to learn the business? Because when you were there as a young man, you were how old at this point? In the early 20s.
You mean in school? Or
When you first worked with, I'm sorry, when you first got your first job with L.L. Bean, your real job out of the service.
Oh, I was about 22, 23.
22, 23. Did you see anything with the business after you got there for a while where you said to yourself, we can change this for the better? And did you try to make any suggestions? And if you did, any resistance from your grandfather?
My father had been the clothing buyer prior to his death. And so I started getting involved in that end of the business. His assistant was still there. So I began learning, the clothing part of L.L. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I spent a lot of time on the retail floor so I could get to know the customers and the product better and that sort of thing. So that's kind of how we started out. And I think just in that first year, I started to gain a much better understanding of the significance of L.L. and the values of the company and the heritage and so forth and so on. I became increasingly intrigued with it. And sort of at that point, I guess I decided that here's where I wanted to make my career. Now, during the course of that, I had this habit of taking notes down on this little black book. And they were all towards, big and small, improving the way the business ran or product ideas or ideas on advertising or marketing, anything that came to mind. And one of the reasons I kept those notes is that whenever I had a suggestion to make to either Al or Carl, it was not approved. And in Al's case, he just didn't want to grow the company anymore at that time. He was getting, as he told me 100 times or more, he was getting 3 meals a day and he couldn't eat 4. And I think Carl had 3 favorite activities, playing golf, collecting antiques, and turning down any suggestions I ever made.
You know, I find that really interesting because we see in family businesses, and John Davis and I discuss this all the time, is that when the generations come in, you may have fresh, bright ideas, but the enemy of the entrepreneur is complacency. Am I correct?
Well, that was our experience. Yeah, I can't speak for others, but L.L. was just happy with the way things were going, and He was living the good life from his perspective. And he had said once, whenever you retire, you're done for.
I love it.
Quote, unquote.
I love it. We get back. We got to take a quick short break. I want to pick up right there, Leon, because this is really a pivotal point in not only the family history, but the history of L.L. Bean. Because, Leon, this is a real good pivotal point for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Leon Gorman, the former chairman of L.L. Bean. He's telling us the fascinating history of the story and his grandfather, L.L. Bean. We'll be back on Legends of Success right after this.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS, or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Now, back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. We're visiting with Leon Gorman of L.L. Bean. Leon, we're getting in a really interesting pivotal point in the history of your family and the history of your family business. When you first came to L.L. Bean, you got your first job at about $80 a week, but it wasn't long after where you noticed that things are a little complacent. We need to adapt. We need to grow. Tell me how you started to introduce your ideas and what resistance you had and how did you get over that?
Well, LL at the time I joined the company was in his late 80s and really had no interest in further growth for further business. He was very happy with his role at the time and had no intentions of retiring. He said, if you retire, you're done for. So I think he saw his tenure at Bean importing to his long life.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, he was in overall charge of merchandising and advertising, or had the responsibilities for it. And his son, Carl Bean, was sort of overseeing the operations and financial side of the business. In LL's case, the product line at the time, it was in pretty bad shape. Many irrelevant products, many products that were surplus from World War II, and generally there was just a lot of mishmash and inferior product in the product line. So that seemed to me the first thing I had to try to improve was the relevance and the quality of the products.
And did you get resistance from them?
Well, it was very hard to get any new products into a catalog through LL, so we started mailing these circulars. LL had a spring catalog and a fall catalog, and that was it. We started mailing these circulars in the off-season, summer and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
In those circulars, I was able to get new products in because LL had no interest in the circulars. So I could get new products in the circulars and then transfer into the catalogs as time went by. And LL didn't really notice that they were new products because we used the clippings from the old circulars to mock up the catalogs.
Mm.
So anyway, we were able to update and upgrade the product line and improve the merchandising of the catalogs because he just got too old to pay much attention to it.
Wow.
So we were able to not only stop the business from its decline, but we got a little bit of growth in the mid to latter part of the 60s up until the time LL died.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we were going to the point that our operations couldn't keep up with it, and I couldn't get Carl Bean to do any improvements in the fulfillment side of the business, so I was sort of stymied there for a while.
Our guest today is Leon Gorman, former chairman of L.L. Bean.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investors offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500. For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com. at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Know who they are, and now you get to meet them. These are America's Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success with Leon Gorman, today's guest of L.L. Bean. Leon, you were telling us before we took a break that business was building so much that there was even one point, I believe I read this, where there were so many orders coming in. I think your father, Carl, or your grandfather just said, send the orders back. We can't handle them all.
That was Carl.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That was kind of his attitude. Anyway, we didn't send him back, but our fulfillment time was way, way, way too long. Our service was poor. LL died in the latter part of in 1967. The start of 1967, LL died,
mm-hmm.
And up until that point, we were concerned about whether the business could endure following his death because. So many customers out there felt they had a personal relationship with LL.
Wow.
And that he, you know, personally attended to their orders and packed the boxes and so forth. So we thought that if he died, you know, people might lose interest in the company. So we had some thoughts of trying to keep his death quiet. But
wow.
He's got 10 minutes on the Huntley Brinkley television news show, and most of the major media gave LL his obituary, and as a result, we got 50,000 letters of condolence, and most of them asked for a copy of the current catalog.
Really?
So we sort of made the hurdle, and we were on to the next phase of the company's history.
You know, isn't that interesting lesson to be learned, that every perceived setback in life, Leon, has a hidden seed of opportunity that you must identify and work. Am I correct?
Well, I think so, yeah, and there's no end to it. If you miss an opportunity today, you're going to find a new one tomorrow. There's always something new and significant to do.
Hmm. Now, in 67, he died. He was 94. He was hanging on to the last times just to have some kind of control of that business, didn't he?
I think so, and I think it was more than just to control a business. I think he felt that his longevity was dependent on his continuing in that position.
Maybe it was. He proved to live to 94, but the year he died, you became president. What was the first thing, if there was one single thing you did to change the day he was gone and you could take over, what was that, Leon?
Actually, LL was succeeded by Carl in the spring of 67, and Carl Bean died in the fall of cancer, so I succeeded Carl.
Yeah, that's right.
Officially. But no, the first thing I did was get all of the senior supervisory management people together and just talk about their ideas on the future and promise them that we were going to stay the course, stay in the same kind of business we were in, same value system, and that their jobs were secure, and that I was counting on them to help me to move the company forward.
So this is what your beginning steps to revitalize the leadership, have a crystal clear plan and communications with all stakeholders.
That's correct. Yeah, I hadn't really adopted the stakeholder concept at the time. In fact, I hadn't even heard of it till a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
When I started reading Peter Drucker and people like that.
Sure. The guru of all management, they say, I'm right?
Correct.
So, Leon, after your grandfather passed away, the first steps in order was to align a new leadership at the company, which you obviously did very well. But what were the next challenges? It could not have been easy. I know you had a couple of growth challenges, and you really had to get some things lined up. What happened next?
Well, I think the biggest challenge following LL's death was growth itself. And we were growing at a very high rate. During those years, and there was a lot of concern amongst people within the company as well as outside that the success would spoil LL Bean, that we'd forget our heritage and we'd forget our values and so on. Actually, reinforced our outdoors positioning and our human resource capabilities and improved our customer service and so forth. So I think we overcame that fear that success would spoil LL Bean. In fact, it made us better. Then in 1975, the company was at such a size that I personally couldn't do all of the managerial thinking and so on. So we started hiring professional managers from outside the company, many with MBAs. So the challenge in the late 70s and early 80s was were professional managers going to spoil LL Bean? And as a consequence of that possibility, we made sure that anybody we brought into the company had a serious personal interest in the outdoor activities and was comfortable living in the state of Maine and living within LL Bean's culture. Then in the early 80s, the preppy boom came along, and all of a sudden our relaxed weekend products were seen as being the ultimate in preppy fashions.
Wow.
And we were featured in Lisa Bernbeck's Preppy Handbook and other such publications.
Sure.
So the issue at that time was, would fashionability ruin LL Bean? And our growth did skyrocket during those preppy years, but then it leveled off at the end of the 80s decade. Then during the decade of the 90s, competition intensified and retailers were getting into catalogs and all the catalogers were getting into retail and everybody was getting into each other's product lines and so forth. The competition was just intense. So the challenge of the 90s would be, would competition spoil LL Bean? And we managed to get through the 90s with a variety of new initiatives as well as reinforcing Bean's basic core business group of products. And then in the current century, the last big challenge of my tenure was actually my retirement, and there was concern would LL Bean survive Gorman's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Even under the best of intentions, you never quite know what the new leadership group is going to do. And they've actually done very nicely, and so we overcame that challenge as well.
Letting go is a difficult challenge as a personal challenge, isn't it, Leon?
Well, it is, but I think if you're honest with yourself and your capabilities and energy levels and so forth, that that makes the decision more meaningful and relevant.
Folks, we're so honored to have Leon Gorman with us today on Legends of Success, who is the former chairman and former president and the grandson of the founder, Leonwood Bean. That's an interesting name, wasn't it?
Well, I think so. My mother says his middle name actually was Linwood, but he was caught up. Somebody misspelled it. He was kind of caught up with the misspelling and adopted it.
You know, it all adds to the folklore, doesn't it?
It's part of it, for sure.
It really is. Well, I want to thank you so much for your kindness, and just thanks for the gift of your time on behalf of our listeners, Leon.
Well, thank you, John. It's great being on your show.
It's a pleasure having you. And I want to thank our team here at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, and the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick for her help throughout the week. You've been listening to Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Mike Hewitt here. The election nears. Let's set partisanship aside for a moment. It seems fitting to offer a quote from a founding member of the Democratic Republican Party. Yes, the Democratic Republican Party. The spirit of 1776 is not dead. It has been slumbering. The body of the American people is substantially Republican, but their virtuous feelings have been played on by some fact with more fiction. They've been the dupes of artful maneuvers and made for a moment to be willing instruments in forging chains for themselves. But times and truth dissipated the delusion and opened their eyes. Thomas Jefferson. Please be wise when you cast your vote. Generations depend on your understanding of the promise of a small r Republican form of self-governance. Is it truly important? Yes, even more so. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We certainly know that 12 or so families wake up this morning to tremendous loss, and we grieve with them.
That's counselor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway, speaking of White House reaction to the mass shooting at a bar in Southern California last night that killed 12 people plus the shooter. That gunman, now identified by authorities as 28-year-old Ian Long, who had served in the U.S. Marines.
I know the president will stand behind law enforcement federally, state, and local as they continue their work. We won't interfere. We will completely support their work.
Among the 12 people Long shot and killed, a 29-year veteran sheriff's deputy. And authorities say Long then shot and killed himself. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg fell in her office last night. The 85-year-old justice is now at a hospital in Washington with 3 broken ribs. This is USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Get ready for colder weather and take an extra 15% off. Give outerwear and boots for the family. Give Harry Potter sweatshirts and hoodies. And with an extra 15% off, a 6-quart Instant Pot is just $93.49. Plus, only at Kohl's, you get Kohl's cash to spend later. The more you give, the more Kohl's cash you get. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15% offer valid November 7th through 15th with promo code KICKOFF15. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
If President Trump goes forward with his reelection bid in 2020, he's apparently going to keep the same running mate. At least that's the indication after this question yesterday about whether he would run for reelection. And he looked at his VP, Mike Pence, and said,
Mike, will you be my running mate? Stand up, Mike, please. Raise your right hand. Will you? Thank you. Okay, good. The answer is yes. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
The midterm election's not actually over yet, as there are still 15 congressional races up for grabs, a winner yet to be declared in Arizona and Florida Senate races. In Mississippi, the race for a special election Senate seat heading to a runoff election. In the 12 unresolved House races, Democrats are leading or favored to win at least 9 of them. An Arkansas man accused of making death threats against CNN anchor Don Lemon's been arrested. They say Benjamin Craig Matthews of Mountain Home made more than 40 threatening calls to CNN headquarters in Atlanta about him. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Canada is apologizing to Jewish refugees who were rejected entry during the 1930s. In the House of Commons, the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, gave a speech yesterday asking for forgiveness for his nation's refusal to grant asylum.